Well, welcome to our harvest service this morning. And it's going to be a bit interactive this morning. You're not just going to be listening to me for an hour because that would be a little bit boring. So I'll get you to join in a little bit from time to time. And firstly, I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to come around with a mic just in case anyone wants to share their answers with everyone else. Here we go, that's working. My first question this morning is, do you have anything that you really like or is really valuable to you? Might be a gift that somebody's given you, might be a book you really like, or anything really, anybody? Oh, it's somebody right down the back. I know what you're all going to do. You're going to make me run round, aren't you, from one side to the other.
My Kindle.
Your Kindle. Anyone else got a Kindle? Oh, do you like yours as well? Do lots of reading. Great. Not reading. You play, see, there you go. That's how much I know, because I use old-fashioned books and things like that, and, I don't know, Kindle, right, okay. What else? Anybody got anything else? Right, here we go. It's going to be my running for the week, this is.
Teddy bear.
And why is that?
I've had this teddy bear all my life, and I really like it.
Right, lovely teddy bear. Anyone got anything else?
A necklace.
Because your sister bought it for you. Yeah, sometimes we get special presents from people and they're very valuable. All right, I'm coming round the other side here. Right, here we go.
My goddaughter bought me a Bible for my 50th birthday. So that's very special.
Right. Okay. One more? No. Oh, yes.
My wedding band.
Want to say any more? That's fairly obvious. Fairly obvious, yes. Fairly obvious. That's good. Okay. What about favourite places or things to do or things like that? Anyone got any favourite places? It might be a bed. It doesn't necessarily have to be anything fancy or something to do. One of my favourite places, has anyone been to Southwold in Suffolk? Yeah, if you haven't been to Southwold, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I absolutely love Southwold. I'd quite happily live there, I think. Right, so we've got... So favourite places, activities, hobbies, stuff like that?
Guide camp.
Does everyone like guide camp? You obviously have some fun at guide camp. Who else? I'm going to come down this way. Tell you, I'm glad I had big breakfast. I'm burning it off now, aren't I? Oakwood Park, very local, that's handy.
Cromer.
Is that by the sea? By the sea, Cromer? Yes, yeah. Let's see, what else?
Salcombe in Devon,
okay. Any activities that people particularly like as well? I'm going to run round here. I should have a pedometer. My mum's got a Fitbit. My mum's a little bit older than me, but she's got a Fitbit, and I tell you, she clocks up the steps.
Here.
Oh, that's good.
Playing on the Wii.
You're?
Playing on the Wii.
Oh, okay. My mum's also got one of them, would you believe? Oh, yes. She's a lot more technology savvy than me. Right, one more before I absolutely wear myself out. Two more because you're in the same spot. Okay, here we go.
Climbing.
Horse riding. God, you're an active lot, aren't you? Goodness me. Right, okay. I'll give myself a little rest. So we've all got favourite things, favourite places we'd like to go, things that are important to us, special to us. If we had to suddenly leave our homes in a hurry, we might think, I really want to take that with me because that's important to me, that's special to me. Things we love doing. I like walking. I'll quite happily walk for miles and get some fresh air and hopefully some sunshine and not too much rain and things like that. Now, do you consider yourself rich? Is my next question. Who would consider themselves rich? No. Okay, one or two maybe. Because here, living in England, we could well consider ourselves rich. And many things we take for granted, like running water, parks to go to, free healthcare and education, aren't freely available to everybody around the world. We kind of get used to the things we have sometimes. And here's some figures that might surprise you. Put my glasses on. These are my favourite things sometimes because they're hardly ever off my nose because I need them. So this was in 2003. This kind of list of statistics was put together. And it says, if we could shrink the Earth's population to a village of precisely 100 people, with all the existing human ratios remaining the same, it would look something like this. So this is kind of percentages, if you like. There would be 57 Asians, 21 Europeans, 14 from the Western Hemisphere, both North and South, 8 Africans, 52 would be female, 48 would be male. There's more girls than boys in the world, apparently. 70 would be non-white, 30 would be white. 70 would be non-Christian, 30 would be Christian. These might have changed a little bit. 6 people would possess 59% of the entire world's wealth, and all 6 would be from the United States. That's quite surprising, isn't it? 80 would live in substandard housing, not very good housing. 70 would be unable to read. 70% of the world's population unable to read. 50 would suffer from malnutrition. 1 would be near death. 1 would be near birth. 1, yes, only 1 would have a college education, and only 1 would own a computer. That might have gone up to 2 or 3 by now. I think that's quite surprising, isn't it? So now if I say, do you feel quite rich? Maybe you feel a little bit better off. So what can we do? What can we share with others? So now you've thought about your things you have, the things you enjoy doing, the places you like. I'm going to ask you what you think you can, or perhaps you do, share with other people. I'm going to have another quick run around while you're thinking. What can you share with other people? We're going to share food today, aren't we? We're going to bring our harvest gifts forward soon. Anything else you share? Perhaps you share a hobby with somebody, or perhaps you've shared a favourite place with somebody. Let's see. Here we go.
Time.
Time. Yes. Time's really, really valuable, isn't it? I think that's a really good answer. Yes.
Happiness.
Happiness, yes. Yeah, sometimes just going around to see somebody, talking to them, listening to them, making them laugh can really make them happy. What else? What else might you share, or do you share with other people? Anything else? Here we go. It's all over this side.
Knowledge.
Knowledge, yes. Have you ever taught somebody to do something or shown somebody how to do something? that can be really valuable. I'm one of these people, if you show me how to do something complicated, I have to write every step down, and then a couple of days later, I might have got the hang of it.
Friendship.
Friendship, sharing friendship. Yes, that's really important as well. Any other takers? No? Okay, that's something to think about. Have we got... No, okay. That's something to think about today, as we can share food, clothing. If you take things to the charity shop, they might get resold, but that's still sharing. Time, energy, skills, listening, experience, money. We can pray for other people, sharing our faith with other people. We can support people around the world by campaigning, maybe writing letters, signing petitions, going on marches, things like that. Jesus talked about his followers helping other people, showing his love to others. And in 2 Corinthians 9, when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, he says this in verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. God has given us many things, many opportunities, facilities, things we have, places we like, and he asks us to share with others. We'll be thinking about this more later in the service. Our first reading this morning is from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 13.
Jesus feeds a great crowd. After this, Jesus went across the Lake Galilee, or Lake Tiberias as it is also called. A large group followed him because they had seen his miracles of healing those who were ill. Jesus went up a hill and sat down with his disciples. The time for the Passover festival was near. Jesus looked around and saw that a large crowd was coming to him. So he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" He said this to test Philip. Actually, he already knew what he would do. Philip answered, "For everyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough bread." Another of the disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said, "There is a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish, but they will certainly not be enough for all these people." "Make the people sit down," Jesus told them. There was a lot of grass there. So all the people sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed it to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, and they all had as much as they wanted. When they were all full, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces left over. Let us waste not any." So they gathered them all up and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left over, from the 5 barley loaves which the people had eaten. Seeing this miracle, thanks be to God.
So, have you heard that story before, perhaps, about the feeding of the 5,000? Well, I don't think there's quite 5,000 people here this morning, and I thought you might enjoy chocolate a little bit better. So I've got a couple of chocolate bars to share out. Is that going to be enough, do we think? Right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to break one up, and perhaps I could have 2 people to help me share them out. Would you like to come down there? Back. And do you want to come out from the front there? Yeah, do you want to help? Yep. So what I'll do is I'll break this one up. Do you get to keep one for yourselves? That's very forward thinking of you. We'll come back and we'll see how it goes, okay? Please only take 1 square each. So if you give... if you could give those out and then come back, and I'll be breaking this one up, and then come back and see what we've got here. back when your plate's empty, and I've got a little bit more here. It's going a bit further. Come, well, I've got some more here, so come back. There we go. Oh, look. See, it's going much further than I thought it would. That's a lot of chocolate, isn't it? That's it. Is that plate empty? Do you want to come back and get some more? Hello. Have you come all the way to the front? Few bits here for afterwards, so I might have a piece of my cup. So that's what happened, the feeding of the 5,000. All these people and the disciples were saying, how are we going to feed this lot? Have you ever been like out all day and walking, and perhaps you didn't think you'd be out as long as you thought you were, and then you've got really hungry and it's got really late? Have you ever had a day like that? Or are you a bit more organised than me? I'll tell you a very quick story. When me and my husband were on our honeymoon in Scotland, we decided on the kind of towards the end of the week to go out for a walk. We had a book of walks, and so we thought we'd go on one of these walks. Nice day, took a bottle of water with us, just like a 2-mile walk through the woods, because we thought that's nice and easy, you know, we're on holidays, that thing. So we went for this walk. This guidebook was probably out of date. The paths seemed to be grown over. We got lost in the middle of these woods. It was horrible. Luckily, he'd been in the scouts, and so he kind of knew to what to look for and where to go and how we might find our way back to civilization. Eventually, we found a river. It wasn't exactly Bear Grylls, but it wasn't great, you know, when you just think you're out for a couple of mile stroll. And about 2 or 3 hours later, we found a path in the middle of the forest that led us back to a village that was a couple of miles from where we were staying. But by that time, we were extremely thirsty, a bit hungry, wasn't great. So I can imagine this was kind of what it was like for those people following Jesus. So exciting, so fascinating. He was healing people, he was doing miracles, they wanted to hear what he had to say, but then it got right to the end of the day, and what are we going to do now? These people are starving. Well, we've got these loaves and these fish. The boy who offered the food he had the faith and the generosity, because he shared the little he had, everyone had enough. Like there was enough chocolate from those couple of bars. Everybody had enough. But it had to start with him showing a bit of faith, showing a bit of generosity, not thinking, well, I don't know about all of them, but I'm keeping this. He thought, no, I'll take it to Jesus. He'll know what to do. And he shared, and everyone had enough. How much do you think it costs to feed a family for a week, roughly, in Britain? What was that? A family of four, roughly. Guessing £150, that sounds like a good estimate, yeah. I've got another survey here. In 2013, the Mail did a survey on feeding a family for a week. It might have been four people or six or a bit more, and they did this around the world again. And here's what they found. In Britain, it was about £155 for four people. In Poland, £99. In Egypt, £43. In Chad, in North Africa, it was £37 for six people. In Mongolia and India, it was about £25 a week. In Ecuador, £20. And in Bhutan, in Southern Asia, it was £3.20. Can you believe that? And it's worth thinking about this sort of thing. When we decide if we're going to give money to certain charities that support people around the world, it's worth remembering that even if we give a little to help, in some countries that can go an awful long way. And even in Britain, this can be tough, but it can be done. There's a challenge that's put out, I think it's every year, by one of the big charities, a challenge to eat for £1 a day. Has anyone tried the eat for £1 a day challenge? I tell you now, it can be done. Bit of a challenge, bit difficult, not much variety, but it can be done. And that's worth, if you want to set yourself a challenge, worth having a go at. Our next reading is from Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38.
Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went around visiting all the towns and villages. He taught in the synagogues, preached the good news about the kingdom, and healed people with every kind of disease and sickness. As he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with pity for them, because they were worried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So he said to his disciples, "The harvest is large, but there are few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers to gather in his harvest." Thanks be to God.
The reading we've just heard talks about another kind of harvest. Although Jesus travelled to many places to teach, to preach, to heal people and meet with people, he prayed that other people would do the same. He trained his disciples, but he needed more helpers as well and beyond his own lifetime. And if we're Christians, we're called to share the good news of our faith, to pray for others, to help others, and to make disciples, just as Jesus said in his Great Commission. We can do this within our own families, within our schools, amongst our friends, in our workplaces, as individuals or as groups or as a church. And this is what Jesus meant when he talked to his disciples about being fishers of men. A number of Jesus' disciples were fishermen, but he said, now you're going to bring in people to know God. So as we go about our week this week, let's be grateful for what we have. Let us just not take for granted what we have. Let's remember how rich we are compared with some other people around the world. And let's try and share what we have. Not only food, which everyone's generously donated this morning, and money towards Sight Savers, but let us think about the other things we can share. As we've said this morning, time, happiness, experience, things we know that other people need to know. And let us try and share our faith where we can as well.